Hey, DIY friends, we have a great show lined up for you today. Is it not great, Kathleen?
It's always great.
It's great because Kathleen is the one schooling me today. But before we get started, we just want to ask you if you have a minute or two to spare. And actually, it's not minutes. It's just seconds.
Wherever you listen to this podcast, if you could rate, review, subscribe, 5 stars is the best. It really helps to get us up in the ranks and to get new listeners.
Yeah. And if you have friends who like home decor or DIYing or, you know, just like general entertaining chit chat, please send them a link to our podcast. We would greatly appreciate it.
Time for the show. Welcome to Kathleen Can Do It, the DIY podcast celebrating the fun and fails of doing it yourself. I'm Kathleen Martin.
And I'm Kathleen Heaney.
And we're just two Kathleens teaching ourselves about plants and how to make our outdoors more beautiful.
You know, Kathleen and I today have been putting ourselves through, I guess I would call it like landscaping 101.
Landscape University.
Everything that you need to know as landscapers, landscape for beginners, because last year I tried to plant things. I tried to go grow a garden and I didn't really know anything about it. And I wasted a whole ton of money. And today we've sat down for just a couple of hours, looked up a handful of concepts, and had I known what I know last year that I know today, I would have actually been probably a successful gardener.
We also phoned a friend, which is a real life landscape professional, and he gave us so many good tips.
So I recently just posted a pretty cool before and after of my mom's backyard because her backyard was in serious, what's the word I'm looking for? Like it was in disrepair.
Yeah.
After living there for 25 plus years. And I have a very good friend who lives in North Jersey, where I'm from, who came in and totally gutted my mom's backyard and changed it. And so we're kind of doing this backyard landscaping 101 topic inspired by my reel.
Yeah. And Brian and I, my husband, we are working very hard on our backyard. Our backyard wasn't great.
Yeah.
When we bought it, half of it was overtaken by ivy and this really gross tree. And I'm not about killing plants or trees that are alive, but the ivy was killing it as well as some insects. And our neighbor put up a new fence, but the tree was in the way. So he offered to take it down for us.
Amazing.
Having it gone.
Yeah.
It's like we have a whole new backyard.
Yeah.
I feel like a million bucks when I look outside. I feel like, oh, not so bad after all. Look at this fence. We're fancy people now. We've gained 50 feet of yard.
Yeah.
I'm planting new seed. We're both planting it, but I did some of it. So
there you go. Take the credit for it, girl.
Take some ownership.
Uh-huh.
And it's my baby now. And now I water them and help them to grow. And
what did you plant?
Grass seed.
Oh, grass seed. Gotcha.
It was all mud. It was. We had to put in new dirt. And now I'm just nurturing that grass.
Are you preparing for motherhood by nurturing your grass?
Yes. But I want to tell you a story.
Yeah.
A funny story that made me angry.
Okay. I'm sorry that you were angry, but please do tell.
So Brian does 99% of outdoor activities and work in our yard.
Okay. I get that because you're the one doing stuff inside.
And he likes it.
Yeah.
He has 2 raised bed vegetable gardens that he tends to lovingly. And he does all that stuff.
And you guys actually get veggies from that you can eat?
Well, the groundhog ate them all last year. Oh, it was a whole thing.
Yeah. Got to keep Mr. Groundhog out.
But he lived under that tree.
Oh, so now the tree is gone.
It's gone. His home is gone.
I love that you got sort of like a 25% free backyard makeover because your neighbor wanted to put up a beautiful fence, which also makes your backyard look more high-end.
When I say that this could have cost $5,000 to take this tree out.
Easy peasy.
It's amazing. So Brian's outside a lot, and so is the new neighbor next door.
Okay.
She's out all the time. She's from Poland. Very hard worker.
Yeah.
She is busting her butt to make her backyard look really nice as well.
Yeah.
So they bond. We don't have a fence between us. So they chat. They have each other's number. She texts him when there's snakes.
Oh, that's really sweet.
Yeah. So I was outside helping Brian seed the new lawn.
Uh-huh.
She comes out and she's like, oh, you're both outside. First time ever. Let me take a picture. You're doing work.
Oh, Kathleen.
I was so angry. I was, at this point, I'm literally chopping dirt.
Yeah.
Because we got all this top fill soil.
Yeah.
And it's clumpy. So I'm using a tool and I'm chopping dirt. I was like, I do the work inside. So
so you don't even know. You know, it's sort of along the same lines is that the neighbors used to say that my dad loved his lawn more than he loved his family. Because he was like out there clipping it with like, I swear, like scissors that you use to cut paper when he would see like one patch that he missed with the lawnmower.
Daddy, I miss you. Shut up.
Yeah. So if you're a beginner gardener like Kathleen and I are, or maybe you're just interested in making your backyard a more aesthetically pleasing place that you can hang out with your friends and your family, this episode is for you.
If you're sitting at your desk, write down these five things.
Or if you're driving right now, focus on the road. Come back to this later.
Yeah, there's time. Our top five tips for getting the most out of your yard.
Or really kind of any outdoor space. I used to garden on my fire escape. Have you ever done that?
No.
Yeah, I realize now in retrospect, it probably was like a huge giant safety hazard. Whoopsies.
Smash the plans, run. Okay, number one is your backyard's purpose.
Yes. Are you mainly gardening? Are you mainly entertaining? Maybe a mixture of both.
Number two, your hardiness zone.
Mm-hmm.
Three, your wildlife. Four, your sun. What time of day do you get sun? Any hot spots? When's the shade? And number five, your budget. How much time and how much money are you going to be spending?
Yeah, all of these things will determine exactly what you should do. And they all need to be thought about ahead of time.
So step one.
Yeah.
What is the absolute must do if you are either improving your yard or just like starting from scratch?
Yeah. Like, do you use your yard? And if you do, what do you want to do better? And if you don't, why don't you?
Right. I think a lot of people have yards that are not being utilized.
Yeah, probably because they think it's going to take extraordinary amounts of money and work to make it a space that they enjoy spending time in.
Mm-hmm.
But that isn't the case. You don't need a huge landscaping architect budget to make your backyard a really beautiful place.
No, not at all.
And it's all about keeping the expectations of what you want in your backyard realistic.
Right.
Because last year I was like, I'm going to have a garden and I'm going to eat vegetables every day from my garden. And I was absolutely not realistic about how many plants that I purchased and how much time it takes to keep up with them. And I wasted a whole bunch of money.
That's why in this episode, we are sharing our landscaping tips, everything that we have learned so that you do not make our mistakes and do not waste your money like Kathleen. We're going to talk about your hardiness zone.
Yes. Oh, I can't wait to talk about that.
Making a plan before you buy the plants.
Uh-huh.
Making sure that's going to work with your sun shade ratio.
Yes.
Your wildlife, making sure you're not buying tons of stuff and then having it all be eaten.
Yeah. And also, what are perennials and how can you find them and plant them?
That is important because you are going to get the benefits of that plant for years to come.
Let's pause for a second for a word from our sponsor.
Oh, yeah, let's. Hello.
Hi, it's us. We're our own sponsor, and this is a commercial in our own podcast.
Yeah, we make the rules here.
So we want to let you know that today we're talking about landscaping. So you know what you need to go along with your beautiful new landscaping?
Outdoor decor.
Yes, you need outdoor furniture, outdoor rugs, cute little side tables and coffee tables and lounge chairs. And so Kathleen and I have curated an amazing, like a really... We have the best taste ever, an amazing collection.
Yes, we were searching the internet high and low, but you want to know a site that really stood out to me?
Yeah, what?
Overstock.
I know.
Everything, because I'm just generally searching like colorful outdoor rugs.
Yeah.
And Overstock keeps coming up, not a sponsor,
no.
Just somebody that is popping up.
Yeah.
But I want to talk about one brand in particular.
Oh, okay.
It actually ties into our last episode on being eco-friendly.
Oh, okay. This is exciting.
Yeah. Pollywood.
Oh, I've heard you mention this company before.
I'm obsessed with Pollywood. I learned about it in my parents' backyard. They just replaced their tables and all their lounge chairs by the pool.
Yeah.
With Pollywood. And I was looking at their website. It's sold on Overstock. It's this plastic, recycled plastic material.
Mm-hmm.
It's super sustainable and it has a 20-year guarantee.
Oh my, there's nothing worse than having to sand down and repaint wood outdoor furniture.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good thing to do if that's what you already own, but if you're going to buy something new, polywood.
Yeah, so it's a plastic composite and it just lasts forever. And it's exactly what we were talking about, cost per use.
Yeah.
So if you have a little bit more money to spend, because it is going to be slightly more expensive,
mm-hmm.
but you can have this forever.
Yeah. So check out our page. Kathleen and I have picked out all of the best styles, all of the best colors. There are also some like really cool 70s style lawn chairs there. We've already done the hard work for you. All you need to do is just link over from our site and buy stuff for your backyard.
Yeah.
Okay. So Kathleen, you taught me something today that blew my mind. I didn't even know it was something that I needed to know about gardening or planting or anything. Can you share with our listeners what it is you schooled me on today?
The hardiness zone. So if you Google it, what is my hardiness zone?
Yeah.
It's going to give you a map of all the US and it's going to tell you what zone you are. And depending on the zone is going to determine what plants you can plant.
Yeah.
What time of year to plant them
mm-hmm.
and the best results you're going to get. So if you live in the desert, you're not necessarily going to be able to plant a hydrangea.
And if you live in New Jersey, you're not necessarily going to be able to plant an avocado tree.
Exactly.
Kathleen actually found this great link. It's called gilmour.com, G-I-L-M-O-U-R.com. We'll put it in our show notes, .com/planting-calendar-zone. And you can actually just put in your zip code and it pulls up what zone you are. I'm zone 7. What zone are you?
6B.
New Jersey is not a big state. I'm actually really surprised we're not in the same zone.
Yeah.
And then you can choose what kind of plants that you want to put in your garden. Fruits, flowers, herbs, vegetables. And this website tells you, based on what you want to put in, when you need to start planting. It's the coolest resource I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, and that's something I didn't realize, especially for a vegetable garden.
Yeah.
Brian is growing some plants right now from seed. Those seedlings in their little tiny containers have it made. They travel from one sunny spot to another. He puts them on his car. Then he puts them on the front porch. Then they come in at night. It's this whole thing.
Oh my God, what is it? What's the vegetable?
There's a few. Tomatoes.
Yeah.
Sweet peppers.
Yeah.
And celery, which is the tiniest little seed I've ever seen. And just like in life, everybody grows at a different rate. The celery, there was like one teeny tiny thing barely bridging the soil, whereas the tomato plants are probably 2 inches, but still.
Wow.
A lot of work happening under the surface.
I see now why it takes planting and time.
You have to wait in New Jersey to a very specific time,
yeah,
when the last frost is
mm-hmm.
before you plant things, because go a little bit too early, you're going to plant all those flowers or your vegetables. And if we have one surprise frost,
yep,
it can kill all your hard work.
Speaking of surprises, surprise animals in your backyard. And what kind of wildlife do you have in your yard?
So had groundhogs.
Yeah.
It was a family.
Oh, sweet little babies.
I know. But it was really, really frustrating because we had this great organic vegetable garden with tomatoes, so many tomatoes.
Yeah.
I don't think we enjoyed more than two.
Oh.
Because the groundhog ate them all.
They got a free meal off of you, those scammers.
So that was the main pest, I don't know, main wildlife that we had to deal with.
Yeah.
We don't have deer by me, but now that the groundhog's den is gone, I think we're going to be okay and we're going to build a better fence.
Yeah. Are you going to put one of those nets around your vegetable garden?
Not over the top. I think we're just going to dig down. So
yeah.
That's important. Establish the fence underground.
Okay. So you're going to put like an actual barrier so animals can't get into the garden.
Right. Because rabbits will eat lettuces and things like that.
That's what I have. I've got rabbits. Mm. They will nibble on basically anything. I mean, they're rabbits. They love vegetables. And I bought a whole container of that. It's like synthetic deer pee.
Right.
To keep rabbits out. And, you know, I filled in their holes that they were getting underneath the fence with, because the backyard is completely enclosed with a fence. We have deer, but only on the front. So our landscaper, he plants stuff that the deer don't like.
Right.
So they're not taking big chomps out. And then I just got to deal with squirrels who, we have a cherry tree, didn't enjoy one cherry last year.
Mm.
Not one, because the squirrels ate all the dang cherries. So what happened to your sister? Didn't a deer annihilate her garden?
Oh yeah. So she was having a party and she bought like $200 worth of geraniums
oh,
just to try to make the outside look really festive.
Yeah.
And a deer came in and ate every single flower top off. So it's just like,
oh my God,
green stalks. They will regrow, but not in time for that party.
No. Oh my God. That's heartbreaking.
Yeah. Before you buy, just take a look and see, you know, what's around, because it's so depressing when they eat it all.
Yeah. And it's a big waste of money. I've heard, and I looked this up and confirmed it, so I know that deer don't really like things that smell very strong, like sage and lavender. Apparently they don't like peonies. Irises, bearded irises are very stinky to deer. Foxgloves, daffodils, poppies, all things that deer are like, ew, get away from me. So those are good options.
Good to know.
Okay, what type of sun does your backyard get? Because this is an essential step. You have to study the sun pattern in your backyard.
This is very important, and it's easy to go out and buy a plant because you like the way it looks.
Yeah.
Put it in the wrong sun area and just have it completely die.
Fried to a crisp. I did that so many times last year.
In our backyard, the sun rises, so it like gets morning sun and travels over the house. And then in the afternoon, the house blocks a lot of the sun, so it's a little bit more shaded.
Gotcha.
So it's more morning sun, afternoon shade.
Yes, you need plants that are more suited for shade.
Whereas the afternoon, the sun beats on the front of our house.
Gotcha.
So also have to make sure we're getting a lot of water there.
Yeah.
And pick plants that can tolerate that much really intense sun.
So one of the tips that came directly from my landscaper, he said, the best thing you can do when you're buying plants, when you're buying soil, when you're buying mulch, which is those tiny little wood chips that you like put around your plants to make them look fancy and elevated, and also to keep your soil covered and damp and on the cooler side, go to your local nursery.
Mm-hmm. I will echo that 1,000%.
Yeah.
We just got all new fill dirt from our local nursery, and we got a lot of black mulch. I will tell you, we had 15, 20 burning bushes because we want to create a hedge eventually.
Yeah.
And we put mulch under there for the first time ever. It made our yard look so much fancier.
Yeah, it does.
But we got all that mulch, a few truckloads of it.
Oh my God.
At such a good price. I would say about half off somewhere else. Like just going local and doing it by bulk, you end up saving a lot. And there's a lot less waste because it's not individually wrapped in those plastic bags.
Oh, so they just put it in your truck bed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what if I don't have a truck bed? Do I just bring containers that I have at my house?
A lot of places will deliver.
Oh,
they deliver it to a pile. My parents got it delivered in a pile on their driveway.
Yeah.
And then you just have to put it in wheelbarrows.
And wheel it around your yard.
Mm-hmm. So when you're picking what plants to buy, something to keep in mind is whether it's an annual or a perennial. Do you know what that means?
Perennial. I mean, I learned today that perennials are the ones that come back.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So more bang for your buck.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming that annuals are the ones that you plant once and that's it and they die?
Yeah. So annuals are just per season and perennials come back every year.
Why would anybody use an annual?
Most decorative flowers are going to be annuals.
Oh, I get. Okay.
So those just like
color.
Big pops of color. Yeah. Like large areas of flowers. Think about what you're buying, whether you want it to come back.
Yeah.
And then how you supplement that with annual flowers that will fill out a bed.
Yeah.
Because my front bed has one large hydrangea, two smaller boxwoods, and then I purposely left the front of the bed empty so I could fill that with annual flowers.
Oh, but why wouldn't you just do perennials and then you never have to buy them again?
Because it depends on what I'm looking for. If I want a flower that's going to really fill in that whole bed.
Yeah.
Like there's certain flowers like an impatient.
Yeah.
Impatience can create a total ground cover.
Yeah.
So you might think sometimes like, oh, I only have however many, 20 of these. These are little dinky doodles, like they're nothing. But once they fill in, they really grow and they can cover all the those surface areas. Yeah. So all you see is flowers. I'm a fan.
Something that I'm hoping comes back this year. I bought a bunch of hydrangeas last year and hydrangeas come back every year. And, you know, they start off small and then get bigger over the years. And I am pretty sure that I overwatered my hydrangeas big time last year because I felt like the sun was drying them out. But now in retrospect, I probably was flooding their roots, and that's why they were turning yellow then brown.
So that's what Landscaper Trip told us.
Yes. He said, if your leaves just go from green to brown, that means that they're dry. They need water. But Landscaper Trip said, if they go from yellow, from green to yellow to brown, that means you're overwatering them.
I've definitely had that in inside plants as well. But I saw that in my parents' yard. They had their sprinkler system was overrunning.
Yeah.
And a lot of their brand new plants, all the leaves were turning yellow and they died.
Oh, that is so frustrating.
But when you see them turning yellow, you're like, they're sad. More water, more water.
I know. There was a lot that I did not do well with. But the one that did well, I couldn't kill it. It was my favorite.
What?
Have you ever heard of a Vicks plant?
Mm-mm.
It smells like Vicks, the cold medicine.
Oh.
And it looks like a succulent, but it's got the cutest little leaves. And I found it last year in New Jersey in the end of June, beginning of July. And it was pretty small and it grew to be very big with minimal care. And it keeps mosquitoes away.
Oh, that's great. I need that.
And they're so attractive, just like the shape and the look and the feel of them, that I'm going to get really big pots this year and put them in and just keep them around because I just like having color in my backyard.
Yeah, that sounds great. That's what I'm trying to do this year. Now that we have this new white fence that the neighbor put in, I would love to put in some blue hydrangea.
Yeah.
I think it would just look really pretty. Hydrangea is so nice because it flowers all summer. Mm-hmm. So you always have that pop of color, like a peony. Stunning. Only flowers in the early spring.
Yeah.
Then it's done. Mm-hmm. Whereas this is just full color all summer.
I think my favorite full color all summer plant is black-eyed Susans. Love them. And they pop up in July, the end of June, the beginning of July, and they'll stay flowered until like almost into October. I mean, it's a really long blooming period. So another thing to mention is when you're buying your supplies and you're talking to your local nursery, make sure that you get advice from them about how to take care of these plants because they will know exactly what zone you live in because you're probably buying from the zone that you live in, and they'll give you really great instructions on how to make the most of what you have. And if you go in there with a budget and say, listen, I've got $100 I need to pack a really big punch in my yard. A lot of times local nurseries, if they have a plant that maybe isn't nice enough to sell, they might give it to you at wholesale price, or they'll put together like a bunch of plants for you and give you a little bit of a discount. And it's just so important to plant things local to your area. It's good for the bees and all the insects and the wildlife.
One of the number one things you need to keep in mind when you are planning out your garden, if you're adding those new plants, is mature growth size.
Yes. Landscaper Trip told us that that is the number one planting mistake that DIY home landscapers and beginner gardeners make.
It's so hard to look at a teeny tiny plant,
a baby plant,
and imagine what it's going to become, because some nurseries will sell you a plant that's 5 years old.
Yeah.
And it's great because when you put it in, it doesn't look ridiculous, but you're going to pay for the 5 years it took them to grow that. Mm-hmm. It's a lot more expensive.
Oh, don't you have a company that you like that sells mature plants?
Yes. Yes. I haven't used them myself, but I'm trying to. I would like to work with them. It's fastgrowingtrees.com.
Oh, and so they sell trees that mature quickly, or are they already matured?
A variety of both. I was looking at the hydrangea, said like this is a 1 quart, this is a 3 quart, though that's how big it is and how mature.
Yeah.
It comes really well packaged and they ship nationwide. Oh. So if you don't have a local nursery, fastgrowingtrees.com could be a good option to get the type of plant you're looking for right to you.
You know, I had a friend who called me up the other day and she said, I'm in the car right now. I'm driving to this farm. They're selling mature raspberry bushes.
So cool.
And I guess that this farm must have just grown too many or whatever, and they can't use them. So they're selling them for like $15 a bush, which is a steal.
Yeah, so cheap.
An absolute steal. It's so great to be able to buy trees and bushes that are already producing fruit, because fruit trees and bushes take years before you'll actually see the fruits of your labor. But
Yeah, so I was at Costco the other day and they have all their plants out and they have Fuja Green Giants.
Fuja Green Giants?
Yeah, so it's like an arborvitae.
This, you're speaking Greek to me, girl. I don't know.
It's a green conical. What is it? Deciduous? No. No. What's the one that doesn't lose its leaves?
An evergreen?
Evergreen.
There you go.
Carnivorous. This plant eats meat. Anyway, it is a bushy little green tree.
There you go. This is the language that I speak now. Bushy little green.
Bushy little green tree. Yeah. And it starts out about 3 feet tall at Costco. Mm-hmm. And it was a good price. But this tree is going to get 40 feet tall.
Yeah, it's going to be really big.
Could be whatever, 10 feet wide.
Yeah.
So you really need to pay attention where you're planting this, how many you're planting, and how far away you're planting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if you put them 2 feet away, they're going to blah, blah, there's no space. Now
They'll become conjoined twin evergreens eventually.
Yeah. Then they'll fight each other to the death and then it'll be bad.
You know, I saw an interesting TikTok about the same thing with basil plants. So I actually have a basil plant in my apartment right now that I use as like a centerpiece because it's pet safe. And I keep it on my little cafe dining table. And I saw this thing on TikTok where it's like, okay, when you go to the grocery store and you buy the basil plants that, you know, like they're in the plastic and the bottom's filled with dirt or whatever, there's like a couple of plants in there. So mm-hmm. you can't just come home and plant that whole group together in a pot. You have to separate them and then plant them in pots. And that's the only way that they'll live because they will crowd each other and their roots will rot and just there won't be enough space for a basil plant to properly grow if you plant them in a group.
That's something keep in mind, ask your nursery, you know, do some Googling. How far should I plant these?
Yeah.
How deep?
Deep.
You know, making sure you're planting them correct depth, correct width, all that.
Yeah. Oh, and soil type. Mm-hmm. Important to figure out what kind of soil type you have in your yard. And you know what? If you're doing planters, then I guess it really doesn't matter.
Right.
Because, you know, you'll be planting above ground. And in that case, you just need to figure out what type of soil is best for the plant you're buying. But what was that thing that happened in your mom's backyard with the wrong soil?
Yeah, so I don't know much about soil except for when it's incorrect, it will make your plants die.
Yeah.
So we, like you were saying about your parents' backyard, how you had helped your mom redo it.
Yeah.
After I moved out, or maybe one year before I moved out, my parents put in a beautiful pool.
Yeah.
There's six of us. I'm the youngest. So they're like, everyone's gone. Time for a pool.
I have been to your parents' house. I cannot believe that you didn't have that wonderful outdoor entertainment when you were a kid.
We did have a nice swing set. But anyway, so they hired a landscape architect. If you have a budget.
Yeah.
Wow. She did such a great job picking the plants. But whoever came in, it wasn't her. A different landscaper came in and actually did the physical planting.
Yeah.
And I guess our soil is clay, which is very sticky and holds a lot of moisture. And if you don't make the hole, I think rule of thumb is like it has to be at least twice as wide and deep as the root ball.
Okay.
So if you just put in a very small hole of clay, what was happening was it was just creating a pool of water in the roots.
Oh.
And that's when the leaves were turning yellow and then
they
died because there wasn't enough drainage in that clay soil. So sometimes you have to remediate the soil. You have to add in different soil types into that area and create a better environment.
Let's do our social shout out, shall we?
Yes.
First Gen House.
Yes. Vanessa at First Gen House. It's at First Gen is G-E-N mm-hmm. House. We love Vanessa. She is a friend of ours on IG and she has a whole Garden Girl series.
Yeah, it's on her website, firstgenhouse.com.
She's perfect for this shout out because she talks about being a beginning gardener, mm-hmm. not being afraid to start.
Yes.
We're learning with her.
She was planting mint on her reels on her Instagram and she showed us how you have to keep mint separate from the rest of the garden. Huh. Who knew?
It'll take over your garden. I didn't know that until she taught me.
I mean, then before you know it, you've got mint on the phone and it's saying, I want $100 or I'm going to kill your strawberries.
Oh, Kathleen.
So yeah, I'm holding your garden hostage.
All of a sudden, you're just drinking gallons of mojitos to keep up with all the mint.
And you're like, mint, stop being so fresh. I told you, $1. That's all I got in my wallet today. Ha, ha, ha.
Ah.
Okay. If you want to follow this podcast.
You just just kept going with it.
If you still like us after that very terrible joke, you can follow us, KathleenCanDoIt.com and at KathleenCanDoIt on all of our socials.
You can follow me, Kathleen Martin, at Create a Colorful Life.
And me, Kathleen Heaney, at Kathleen Loves Color.
Go over to my Instagram and you can see I revealed the wallpaper
in your living room
that Kathleen helped me with. It looks so good. I've been talking about it for a while, so go check it out.
It was beautiful. Your wallpaper from Bell Art Studio. And listen, if you have any questions or if you want us to cover any topics, just give us a holla. Our email address is hello@KathleenCanDoIt. What's our phone number?
201-378-3378. You can leave us a voicemail, ask us a question.
Yeah.
You can also join our Facebook group. My mother-in-law just posted today. That's how you know it's cool.
Yes, very cool. And listen, if you're working on your garden, by all means, tag us, post pictures in the Facebook group. We want to see what you are working on.
Yeah, if you have any tips, like if you're a pro,
yeah,
share them with us because we want to learn and grow as well.
Oh, leave us a voicemail with your pro gardening tips.
Ooh, yeah, do that. And we'll put it at the end of the pod if you're really fat. Wait, no, we can't. It will already have happened. We'll put it at the end of next pod.
Yes. And don't forget, if Kathleen can do it, you can do it too.